Shalom Aleichem. My name is Rabbi Adam Dubin. First, I want to, of course, mention that once again, our learning is, this evening is for the foolish lema of Zev ben Leah, that's Dr. Zev Zelenko, as well as all other Holy Yisrael. And of course, I want to wish everyone a Chag Kasher V'Sameach, that they should have a happy and a meaningful, inspiring Pesach. And of course, this year, Pesach is falls out the first Seder on Motzei Shabbos, which has a whole separate set of additional halachic complications in some regards, primarily because we don't end up to have a tainus on a Friday or on Shabbos, and so the tainus b'choros is actually tomorrow, Thursday, and also we can't do b'difus chametz on Friday night, so that's tomorrow night, on Thursday night, so it's a little bit, you know, that's out of the ordinary. Additionally, depending on where you live, the specific timing that you can stop having chametz, that you must stop having chametz on Erev Pesach, of course, depends a little bit, but at least where I am on the east coast of the United States, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of around 11 or so, I forget the exact time right now, in the morning. So how is that going to work when it comes to having your Shabbos Sudas, especially if you want to have three Shabbos Sudas, which, as we know, is a halacha to have Shabbos Suda on Friday night, Shabbos morning, and Shalosh Sudas as well. To have the third one, how can you have Chametz? Now, of course, there's a discussion amongst the poskim about having what you need to have Shalosh Sudas, what you need to have at the third meal. Do you actually need to wash? Do you not need to wash? The Shulchan Aruch, that is the Rav Yosef Cairo, says that you can use matzah ashira, that is commonly we think of egg matzah. You can, and I have on good authority from the head of the OU, that many of the egg matzah companies, or the Zman Hazeh, actually use wine and not grape juice when they make, or apple juice when they make the egg matzah. And so according to the Rambam, that fulfills the shita of having the matzah shira, but even other poskim would say without having wine, but other juices that are mixed in, makes the matzah shira, because of course there is a prohibition of having matzah on Erev Pesach. And an additional complication. That's the mechaber. That's Rosh Hashanah Cairo. The Rama, Moshe Israelist, suggests that at least for Shalosh Sudas, what you should end up to do is have from mini peros, or mini dagim. You should have or basar. You should have fruit. You should have fish. You should have meat. Some combination of these. That will fulfill the mitzvah of eating Shalosh Sudas. Of course, that's not just for when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, but really any time, any Shalosh Sudas, you could be yotzi, you could fulfill the obligation of having Shalosh Sudas with these other foods, although we typically don't think of it that way because, again, we typically try to wash for our Sudas, and it's considered to be, at least during the rest of the year, normal times, as it is not the best thing to do, that you prefer to wash, but again, there is that other, we'll say, dispensation even during the rest of the year, but especially when it comes to Erev Shabbos, Erev Pesach, that falls on Shabbos. So what this means is having to finish your Sudas, you know, early, or at least finish your Chametz early, assuming that you're going to have Chametz, again, you can fulfill, according to many opinions, of Herschel Schachter of the OU, and the Rosh Hashiva of Yeshiva University has gone on record as saying, along with many other poskim, that you can use matzah ashira on the Shabbos, or maybe Friday night if you want to end up to have your have some chametz, your challah, have it in a place that you're not even a challah, but you can have a small roll or a pita or something that's not going to make a lot of crumbs, and you can have that. And Shabbos morning, of course, because more of a problem, they want to make sure that you're finished with your Suda in time. So many shuls, including my own, instead of having shachars at a regular time that we have on Shabbos, which is closer to 8:45 in the morning. We're going to start at 7 o'clock in the morning. And I know many other shuls in my community are doing something similar, no matter what time they typically start on a Shabbos. And the reason for that is to be able to finish in time so that you can wash on chametz and be finished at least with the chametz portion of your suda in time to not be over the iser of having chametz on Pesach. Or again, it's the Erev Pesach, but we stop eating chametz before several hours before Pesach. Okay, so that's a little bit of a digression I wasn't planning to make so much of, but this week's Parsha is Parsha Tzav, and it is, as we know, a year where since last year, when we were not able to anywhere in the world go out from our own family, from our own homes, to engage in the Pesach Seder. We weren't allowed to go to shul. Really, everything was shut down. So, of course, this year, things are different. In many places, things are opening up more because of the vaccines, because of better ways to treat the virus. But things are still not normal. You know, the Seder is always a highlight of the year, and of course we'll still be able to do so, performing our obligations at night, but it still, at least for many people, will not be normal. You won't have the number of family and friends that you typically will have. But hopefully, at least during the Seder, you'll be able to close your eyes for a moment and remember the Sedarim that we were able to celebrate in the past, and have a heartfelt tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asking him to quickly return us to normalcy. So this week's Parsha begins Parsha Tzav, and we learn the details of the Korbanos and the operation of the Beis HaMikdash. It can be very difficult to connect to these Parshios on a personal level because, unfortunately, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed so many years ago. And so the offering of Korbanos has now been replaced with tefillah, as the Gemara in Maseches Brachos, Daf Chav, Vav Amud Beis says. The Beis HaMikdash, of course, was replaced by the Shul, the Mikdash Me'at, which the Gemara in Maseches Megillah speaks about, Daf Chaf Hef Amud Aleph, as well as the Navi Yecheskel, says in Sefer Yecheskel. Again, the Mikdash Me'at, of course, the fact that last year we knew Noah was davening in Shul, we had to make our own home was really our Mikdash Me'at, and that's davening without a minion. At least unless you had a large enough family to have a minyan, but most people were not having a minyan in their own houses, even with their own families. So, and many people still, depending on where you are in the country or in the world, where you are in your health journey, you may not be going to shul. You may not have the ability to take part in the regular mikdash ma'at. But we don't remember what it feels like to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash, but we do, of course, remember what it feels like to daven in a minyan in a shul and recite Kaddish and other Divrei Kedusha, things that you need to have a minyan for. And we're taught that when there is a minyan, the Shechina dwells there. This, of course, is the Gemara Maseches Brachos, Daf Vav Amar Aleph, as well as in the Sefer Tehillim. For the past year, for many people, depending on just where you are, it has been sorely lacking. Certainly, we think back to a year ago when none of us were able to go to Minyan. So, we should turn the pain and yearning of our traditional Seder and Minyanim towards Hashem. Again, even if you were able to daven with the minyan because you had an outdoor minyan or a block minyan, it's not the same as being in shul. And so we can think about even last year I am not aware of many places in the world that were permitting such things. But certainly, as we have begun to open up, I know in my neighborhood we still have outdoor minyanim as well as many shuls have opened up indoors, but to not full capacity. Things are not normal. We dive into Hashem that He should return us to, again, some sense of normalcy. While we're at it, we should take it one step further and beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu to return things to the way they really should be. not just to davening in your local shul, but to actually for all of us to return to the base of Migdash in Yerushalayim so we can carry out the halachas that we learn about in this week's parsha. So, the parish to Haramban, the Nachmanides, on this week's parsha in relation to the Korban Mincha is what I want to focus on this evening. So first we need a little bit of background. As we know, there's different kinds of menachos, meal offerings, that were brought and were eaten by the Kohanim. We have the oven-baked offering, the deep pan-fried offering, the baked offering, the fine flour, the soilus, the omer, and the chatas offering, and the soita, and other menachos as well, but that they were entirely brought up to the Mizbeach and not even by the Kohanim, so we're not talking about that right now. The first three types of are spoken about in our Parsha. It's in the second Aliyah. You find it in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Tes, and Pasuk Yud. It says, V'chol mincha asher teyase betanur v'chol naase macheshes v'al machavas akoyin amakrivos alo tiye. V'chol mincha b'luva v'shemen v'chereva v'chol b'nei aron tiye. Again, so the pasuk says, pasuk test and pasuk yud says, and any meal offering that's baked in an oven or that's prepared in a deep fryer or frying pan shall belong to the kohen that offers it, as well as any mincha that is kneaded in oil and is dry, and it shall be this mincha shall belong to the bnei aron, each of them equally. I'm going to focus back to the Ramban, as I mentioned, but just to say that the Rashi does, of course, comment on these two psukim. And Rashi basically says on Pasuk Tes that you might think that on the Lekoyin HaMakrivosa, and any meal, the mincha that the Kohen who offers it up, etc., that they might think it shall be his exclusively. However, says Rashi, Torah states that it shall belong to all of Aaron's sons. That's from Pasuk Yud. One might think then that this will all belong to all of them, but that, however, is not possible. As the Torah says, it shall belong to the Kohen that offers it up. How can it be that these two apparently contradictory passages that are right next to each other can be reconciled? That's referring to the text as the family officiating on the day of which it was brought, and that is Rashi based on the Sifra. So Rashi's comment there perhaps is a little bit confusing, which is again why I want to look in the Ramban. Anyway, so as we know, the Kohanim were divided into 24 different shifts, weekly shifts that served in the base of Mikdash on a rotational basis, and each shift was further divided into seven groups, each of which served on a particular day of the week. The group of Kohanim that served on a particular day would generally be entitled to share all the karbonos that were offered that day. And as I mentioned, the Ramban discusses the meaning of these two psukim that we just quoted, as he gives two possible explanations. The first is the simple pshat according to the Ramban. He says that the psukim suggest very clearly that there are two categories of menachos. The first category that we spoke about in Pasuk Tes consists, again, of Chol mincha asher te'eso betanur, that's baked in the oven and that's made, prepared in the deep fryer and frying pan, etc. And these belong to the particular kohen that brought that korban. The second category in Pasuk Yud consists of the other types of menachos, which were shared between all the kohenim that were on duty that day. So the Ramban understands that the Chol B'nei Aaron, all the sons of Aaron, does not mean every single Kohen, but rather all the Kohenim that were on duty that day, even if they were not involved in offering that particular mincha, or that particular korban in general. The Ramban explains the rationale for this distinction between the two categories of offerings. The first category of menachos involves more exertion on the part of the Kohen who officiates, and therefore it's only fair that he should receive the entire mincha for himself. The second explanation, based off a Masoros Chazal, is that the Ramban provides us. He says that Chazal say that the Masora, that the Psukim are not to be interpreted according to Pshat. Rather, Chazal interpret Pasuk Yud as referring to all Mincha Karbanis. That is, they're all shared between the Kayanim who are on duty that day. Although Pasuk Tes, clearly refers to the individual Kayan that offers the Korban in question, Chazal say, still, that the Pasuk is referring to all the Kayanim that are on duty that day. Even though only one or possibly two or maybe three of the Kayanim would actually be involved in offering each Korban. In reality, they were acting as shluchim, as agents, for all the Kayanim that were on duty that day. In this way, we can say that all the Kayanim that were on duty are indirectly involved with each and every Korban. So even though the simple pshat of the Psukim is more obvious and logical, Chazal's interpretation is still the accepted one, that the Menachos were shared amongst all the Kayanim who were on duty that day. And the Ramban explains that this parish would be more likely to create shalom, to create peace and harmony between the Kayanim, and of course shalom is of paramount importance. Chazal's interpretation shows us the importance and value of shalom. To increase in shalom, Chazal even go against the simple pshat in the Torah. So may we all have a chakasha v'samech, as I mentioned. As we know, in general, is that there's a mitzvah to have simcha on yontif, and despite the circumstances that are still very difficult for many people, we must remember that Hashem does not give us a mitzvah that is impossible for us to observe. So we should try to remember the importance of shalom in our homes, especially, again, that there are still those of us who are stuck at home. If Chazal can interpret the Torah against a simple pshat, then of course we should be able to make the extra effort to bring shalom between people and help the Shekhinah to rest in our homes. And if we are missing our typical Seder and missing davening and a minyan this year, just as we had last year, we can try to turn that pain into a heartfelt tefillah to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to return to our shuls, to return to communal events, to return to normalcy, but ultimately we should turn to Hashem that He should restore us to the base of Migdash, and we should have the ultimate fulfillment and see in reality all the things we're learning about with the coming of Mashiach Zikenu and the building of the base of Migdash may it be speedily in our days. I wish everyone a good Shabbos and a Chag Kasher v'Sameach.